bringing my water with me. They tell me I have to have it. That's the case the message gets a little dry. Reminds me of another little humorous story that I'll tell you afterwards if you ask me, but I'm not going to talk about it right now. We're going to talk a little bit about the word redeem, and often we know what they mean, you know, so-so, you know. But sometimes we don't really know what they mean in reality or something like that. Not a real clear thinking of it. So anyhow, we want to talk about redeem. Can you hear me? I don't know. Okay. And you know, redeemed in simplified means to buy back. You're going to redeem something. You lost it, you redeemed something. So to start out our Bible study, and if you're going to get much out of this, you're going to have to enter into it yourself, because you probably won't get it from the few words that I say. You got to think about it in your mind. So we're going to start off with our thinking in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And we're thinking about being redeemed. Well, here we go. Yes. You know, we were once gods, and God made Adam and Eve. And this is what he said. He said in the 26th verse, "And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish in the sea and the cattle and whatnot, and every creeping thing. But let's make man in our own image." And when God created Adam, he made him in his likeness. Like mind, made like looks. He gave him a will. Here we see the will of God being exercised a little bit. It says, let us make man. That's, you know, it'd be like you and I say, let us go to the coffee shop. You know, that's exercising our will. And so God made man in his own image. And that was the will of God, that man should be in his own image. And what about man? What was he like? If he was in God's image, what is God like? God is righteous, isn't he? Sinless? So man was righteous, and God gave him one little small exercise of his will. Everything you can do, but don't do this. That's a negative exercise of the will. And you know, and you think about this will, having a will, you know, the angels have wills too. We read in, I believe it's in Isaiah, where Lucifer, he says, I will exalt myself. I will be like the Most High. And God has given to you and I a will. And you know, man sinned, and it put the whole human race in the slave market of sin. And in Romans 5:12, we read that by one man. Let's look it up, so we don't make he says, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men. And you know, each one of us, before we were saved, we were in the slave market of sin. Sinners by nature, sinners by practice. Man's heart, if you look around in the world today, you can see the evidence of the sinful nature of man. Yes, sin passed upon all men by one man. Sin passed upon all men by one's disobedience. And you know, when that happened back in the Garden of Eden, and we're thinking about redemption now, keep this in your mind, because that's what's going to make the connection all along here. God lost fellowship with man. God made man for his fellowship. It says God came down in the cool of the evening to talk with Adam, to have fellowship with him. And you know, when sin entered into the world, God lost fellowship with man. And man lost his sinlessness. You know, before that, man was righteous like God. But when man sinned, disobeyed, his will came between him and the right thing. And he took of the fruit. So, God lost fellowship and man lost his sinlessness. I want to tell you a little story, simple little story. There was a little boy, and he lived by the seashore, and one day he found a log and a piece of wood, and he pictured in his mind that would make a real nice little boat. And so he got busy, and he carved himself out a little boat. And then he found himself a little piece of cloth, and he put a sail on it. And he just loved the sea, you know. Some people just love the sea. And he made this thing, and it was dear to his heart. And he would go out every day, and he would sail his little boat on the sea. And he had it tethered with a string. And he got great enjoyment out of it. But you know, one day a big wave come along and snapped the string, and his nice little boat went sailing right out to sea. And he was very unhappy. A little while later, he's walking down in the town where the stores are and whatnot. And lo and behold, he looks in the window, and what should be there but his little boat? It was his. He knew it. He made it. He loved it. And he went in, and he said to the storekeeper, "That's my boat." And the storekeeper says, "Oh no, son, it's not yours. A sailor found it out at sea. And he brought it to me and he sold it to me. It's my boat. If you want it, you got to pay the price." And that was disheartening news to the little boy. But the little boy went home and he found a way in which he could get enough money to purchase his own little boat. And he went in and he bought it. He paid the price that the innkeeper wanted, the storekeeper, for that boat. And you know, he got out, and he says, you know, he says, that boat is twice mine. Twice mine. Once when I made it, and once when I purchased it by paying the price. And you know, that's a little bit what redemption is. Twice mine. And to be redeemed, you have to deliver by paying the price. And that boy, he paid the price. You know, we too are redeemed. God redeemed you and I and all who will put their trust in us. And we read in 1 Peter, thinking about this redeemed, 1 Peter 1:18, and the Apostle Paul says, for as much, let me get it here. He says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. You know, I'm glad that I'm not redeemed with corruptible things. You know, when the children of Israel made their sacrifices every year, they made them with a corruptible sacrifice, an earthly sacrifice. But you know, when God gave his son for you and I, it was an incorruptible one. It wasn't of this world. It was of the world in heaven. And the Apostle Paul says, he says, know ye not that you're not made with corruptible things as silver and gold, you know? That little boy bought his ship back with silver and gold, you know. But the Lord bought us back with something that will not corrupt. That boy's little boat, when he died, got to be somebody else's. But you and I, dear friend, we're not going to ever get to be somebody else's, because when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he redeemed you by his own precious blood. And we could go on to talk about that a little more, but we have to keep moving. And another, not only was not corruptible, but in Hebrews 12:9 we read something different, something else, which emphasizes that. Hebrews 9:12. I got it mixed up. I got 12:9. And it says here, neither by the blood of bulls and of calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, obtaining eternal redemption for all those who put their faith and trust in his sacrifice. Not of this world. Not of a corruptible thing. It's eternal. Yes, your redemption and mine is eternal because it was bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is not of this corruptible world. And you and I are bought out of the slave market of sin. You know, it tells us that man's heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And if you want a look at that, just look at your own heart sometimes, and you'll find out just how desperate a heart is. Yes. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift is eternal life. Is eternal life. Yes, this business of being redeemed, God has bought us back to himself, and he's never going to let us go. Never. Man can accept redemption. It tells us that in Romans 10:13 that whosoever shall call shall be saved. But if you haven't called yet, you're not saved. You don't have this. You aren't redeemed. What we're talking about tonight, you're still in the slave market of sin, and Satan has dominion over you. You're still out there. But God is willing to redeem you. He paid the price. Redemption can be accepted by men. Yes. Redemption's work. And let's look at Hebrews 9:14 and 15. How much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offer himself without spot to God? Purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living and true God. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressors that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Yes, he redeemed those of the first testament, and he redeemed those of the second testament, for eternal redemption. Not just of this life, but for eternal. And in Romans we read 3:24, we read this, it says this about it. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There's no other way to be redeemed than through the saving, sacrificial death upon the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he saved, he redeemed us. And that's that's the work. God did all the work. Nothing that you and I can do except call upon his name. And you know, being redeemed, that's a state that you and I stand in. God did the work. We accepted it. And that's the state we live in, being redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:13 tells us, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. You know, the law, it says, do and thou shalt live. Christ says, call and thou shalt live. Use your will to call upon the name of the Lord. Yes, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Yes? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Adam sinned way back there and put the whole human race in that slave market of sin. And God came and paid the righteous price willingly so that he could redeem back those creatures which he made in the start his own for his fellowship and for his good pleasure. Ephesians 1:7 tells us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And you know his grace is so rich, it's without any kind of favor or anything. Whosoever will can be redeemed, can be brought back into the family of God. In Galatians 4, we read this. We're redeemed. We become sons. And in Galatians 4 and 5 and 6, let's read that. Who redeemed them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir of God through Christ. Yes, dear friends, this morning, being redeemed put us into a standing that we never had before. As a son of God, it did more than Adam had. Adam was a creation of God. We can become a son of God by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:4 tells us a lot of scriptures, but you know, that's what we base our faith on. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Yes, it's eternal. It's reserved in heaven for you. Part of God's family. You know, that's what assurance is, being part of a family. You know, it doesn't make no difference. I'm the son of Edwin Palmer. I'll always be that son. Don't make no difference whether I do good or bad. You know, I'm in the family. And he might be very disappointed in me sometimes, and then he might be very proud. But you know, I'm always a son. And when we receive, when we become redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, we become heirs of God and joint heirs. We become a son. We're a joint heir with the Lord Jesus. What a great standing we have as believers. We're a son of God. In Psalms 130:7-8. Psalms 130:7-8, we read this. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And you know, the Lord has got plenty of it for everyone. And he can redeem you and I. He's plenteous in redemption. And you know, he redeemed us too, not only for his own pleasure, but for a reason. Let's look at Titus 2:4. Timothy. Titus 2:4, we read this. That's better. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us. The Lord gave himself for you and for I, that he might redeem us, that he might bring us back, that he might put us into his family, that he might purify unto himself. It tells that he might redeem us from all iniquity. You know, that's what he wants to do in your life and in my life. He took us out of the slave market of sin. But we still have a sinful nature in us. We still have the will sometimes that we don't do the right thing. And he took us out of that slave market. And he wants to redeem us not only from that slave market, but he wants to redeem us from that evil nature, you know, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He wants us to be working for him. He wants us to be active for him somehow. Your activity might be different than mine, and it's not me to judge yours, nor you to judge mine. But he wants you to be active for him. Yes, he redeemed us that he might purify us. That's our will. We have a will every day. Do we will to serve him? You know, I spoke that we had a sinful nature. It tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's willing. He has a will too. He's willing to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Yes, if we confess our sins. And he's a redeemer. And in John 2:1-2, we read this. First, I think it's 1 John, I might not. Yes, 1 John 2:1-2. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Yes, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's not a corruptible sacrifice. He's a righteous, holy, without spot. And we have an advocate. Everyone who has been redeemed has an advocate standing on the right hand of the Father, ever living, I think it says, to make intercession for you and for I. I wonder, how often do I make myself available to that advocacy that the Lord is providing for me? Yes? Redeemed. God once owned us. He wants to own us again by new birth. And He wants to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify unto Himself a peculiar people. So, with that, maybe we ought to sing 348.